No man can serve two masters. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today we are blessed with this portion of instruction from our Lord's Sermon on the Mount, and it is very helpful to us to come into a place of peace where we are not anxious. When Jesus says, be not anxious, he's talking about that kind of fretful worry, where we have the worldly fears and the faithless anxieties, faithless fears and worldly anxieties, that kind of nail-biting worry about the future and our provision, and that is the anxiety that we are to avoid. It is that sense of the unease that leads to disease, you know, so be not anxious. And perhaps one spiritual note we might take from this gospel lesson is that the nature of mammon worship is anxiety-filled. When a person has given themselves to trust with their ultimate well-being, material possessions, then they will have anxiety. That will come up in them. So Jesus gives us beautiful instruction for how we can avoid this misplaced love of a false God and put our trust and our faith in the one true God. So he says to us, be not anxious concerning, you know, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear. The essential message is that God, who gave you your life, will give you what is necessary for your life. God knows what you need, and he will take care of you. That is the essential message. So consider the lilies of the field, or let's start with the birds of the air. They're not, you know, sowing seed and cultivating a harvest and then putting things into barns, but God feeds them. Are not you of much more value than they? You are image bearers. You bear the image of God. And you are much more value than the birds. God is feeding the birds. He will feed you. Or consider the lilies of the field. They don't toil in the spinning of yarn for their raiment. But they're more beautiful than Solomon in all his glory. So all the technology and the art and the artifice that Solomon could gather in the height of his kingdom, it couldn't surpass the beauty of a lily, the flower of the field. That's why you don't gild a lily. It couldn't surpass it. And yet this is grass that will be gathered today and burned in the oven. Well, aren't you more valuable than that? Jesus is saying. And so let us trust in God who will provide for us. And putting our trust in the one who is our creator and the one who is our sustainer, we can then rest in that and not be anxious about our provision. When he says, you cannot serve two masters, here's where I think most of us are in the wrestling match. I don't think many of us are in a place of food insecurity, and if you are, please let me know so we can pray through that and figure it out together. But in terms of letting possessions take the mastery, I think that's where we really do have a wrestling match. Now, here's where we have to wrestle manfully and not allow our possessions to possess us. The things we have are useful to us. They are purposeful, but they're not our purpose. So we have to have the right perspective, the right attitude, and the right thinking about how we approach the things that we do have. If we think about it, our life does not consist, the words of Jesus help us, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. So what you have is not you. That does not determine your value. In a materialistic world, in a consumer culture, yes, okay, that's different. That's a whole different false ideology, way of thinking. But in the truth of the matter is, your life does not consist of the things that you possess. Now, it's very easy to get mixed messages here and to hear the consumer culture's incessant message that you'll only be happy if you get this product. Oh, that's outdated now. You'll only be happy if you have this product. Oh, that's outdated now. You'll only be happy if this one, right? It's a constant message of you're unhappy, you're unhappy, you're unhappy until you get this. Well, these people are experts in behavior modification. They know what's going to move people. And so they create anxiety to get people to buy their product. So they have a better razor and then, you know. But we understand as Christians that our life does not consist in those things. Again, a lot of mixed messages here. I was visiting Walmart just yesterday, buying some supplies for the confirmation class, some binders. And I had some note ruled paper and so on. And I, a couple other sundries on the conveyor belt. And the clerk was leading her shift, handing it over to another. So she turned and pointed to the things on the belt and said, "That's him." "That's not me. It's not even my stuff yet. It's Walmart stuff. I hadn't bought it." But how easy it is to say, "That's him." No. I know in law, there is a principle that if somebody attacks my stuff, they attack me. So it is an assault against me if somebody damages my car, for example. Yes, and we might see legal basis for taking action. I'm personally insulted if somebody damages my things. And they can do me great harm if they take away my livelihood, etc. But ultimately, right, my life does not consist in those things. And we can enter into the freedom of that truth if we just consider that a lot of our life, we didn't have anything. I mean, think about from the time you were conceived in your mother's womb, because a person's life begins when they're conceived in their mother's womb. It's body, soul, and spirit all there. And how free is that? You don't need anything in there, in your mother's womb. You just float around, breathing in the amniotic fluid, stretching a limb when it shows up, you know, kicking here, and being comforted by your mother's beating heart. You didn't have anything then, but you were a total person. And God had you in his loving arms. You were protected and provided for and blessed. And same thing, when you came into the world, you came in naked. Remember what it's like when you were a kid and you don't have much stuff. You know, you run around all day and play, and you're provided for in marvelous ways, God loving you through those who took care of you. That kind of freedom is the same kind of childlike faith we are to have now, trusting God for our provision. He gave you your life. He will give you what is necessary for your life. Now, of all the things that I have, you know, gathered up and brought into my possession, right? I'm steward over those things. They are not to be my master. Remember, material possessions, they are a great servant, but a terrible master. I'm not to bow down before them and see them as my security and my strength. I'm not to put my, you know, if riches increase, do not put your heart upon them. Do not set your heart upon them. Okay, you're rich for a while. Great. You're accountable to God for those riches. Okay, that's stewardship. Now you have things you can take care of. But do those things really matter? Do these material things really matter? Does this matter on a person's deathbed? I've been with people when they're dying a holy death, and they could care less about their cabin. You know? The boat in the garage, they haven't needed that for years. All the fly rods, the fishing poles, the hunting gear, the coolers, they don't need that when they're you know, going home to Jesus. They're still a person entire. They didn't need that stuff to be a person entire. That's just things they had for a season. And if you think about it, think about Solomon, who really pushed the envelope. And in the glory of his kingdom, took unto himself great possessions. You know, he built himself fine houses and palaces. And if that wasn't enough, he got gardens and the finest of things. Got himself manservants, women servants, had entertainers. And at the end of all that, what does he say about it? He pushes out to the extreme of gathering what he can. And remember his line in Ecclesiastes? It's all vanity and vexation of spirit. All this material acquisition at the end of the day is empty and a vexation to my spirit. These things, yes, they're material things. Yes, they have their use. They're useful to us. They're a means to an end. We use them for good things. We use them to glorify God and love others. For a season, they expand our power. They give us the ability to move and do things. And they're useful. But again, these purposeful things are not our purpose. They are means to an end, but they are not the end. God is our true end. And we remember that, that he is our true end. We can come into that liberty, which is our birthright as children of God, and rest in his goodness. For God has created you and given you life. He will give you what is necessary for your life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.